I want you to turn to the book of Exodus this morning. As I told the Sunday school class, my speech is not going to be exactly distinct the way that it has been. Not that I have such distinct speech, but the dentist that I go to and have gone to for years, I was doing great without teeth. You know, those little gap I had, I'd learned to swallow my pride and just say, here I am, take me like you see. But he decided that he didn't like me running around without teeth, so he glued some in and left me with a lisp when I come to an S. You hear that? It bothers the time out of me. So I'm going to have to swallow some more pride and learn to live with a lisp until I get it all fixed. So bear with me. If you hear it, you smile, that's okay. I smile every time I do, too. With gritted teeth, that is. Chapter 16. Brother Barry, if you'll run up here real quick, I'll let you read from verse 7 to verse 21. Start with verse 7, go to verse 21. Stand here.
And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted.
Lord, be my helper, I want to talk to you for just a little while on glory in the morning. Can you say that? Glory in the morning. That's the title. We're here in this book of Exodus, which is a self-titled book on the departing from Egypt to Canaan, They are not in Canaan. They are not in Egypt. They are in the wilderness. And therefore, the provisions had finally run low until they had taken up this chanting, this murmuring, this complaining. Their behavior was not the best, to say the least. God had overheard them. And they were complaining against Moses and against Aaron for bringing them up out of Egypt, where they had melons and leeks and garlic and different things. And they just said, this is not proper food. In the crisis, Moses received guidance from the Lord. And God had said that the next day they would behold a special food provided, which they would call manna. And this manna would not cease until they had ended their journey. So God opened a bakery in the wilderness. In this crisis, God listens. Sometimes we fail to understand how diligent God is to listening. Amen. He hears your praises. He also hears your complaints. Amen. In the morning, Moses reassured them, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. In the morning, ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Just two words I want to hang out here so you can look at them and meditate on them this morning. I'd like for you to think first of radiance and then of reputation. Radiance and reputation, because that has to do with the glory of God. First, the glory of God is indescribable in its radiance. No one has ever been capable of doing it. Not even when you get to the great writer John, who goes up to heaven and looks at the throne of God himself, he fails in his description of God. He could see rainbows. He could tell you the color of the Emerald Sea. But when it came to the glory of God, it is one of those indescribable situations that man has terrible trouble with. It is so radiant. It is beyond understanding, because the first thing that you hear angels say about God, holy, holy, holy. And that is the angelic description of what God is. We all know that God is it is almighty. But what do you say about God's holiness? That glory, that wonderful glory of God, that glory that we hope one day to live in. When you think of glory, you've got to think of radiance. When you think of Jesus being transformed on the mount, his garments changed. They become glistering white, whiter than any fuller soap could make them. They become whiter than description, because that was the glory of God. His face shined with strength like the sun. And then you think of radiance. His reflected brightness makes angels cover their face with their wings. This brightness of God, this glory of God, is not only in his works, but it's also in his wonders of creation. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 19 and 1. He simply says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. First, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmaments just show us his handiwork. One of the things about being away in the country is that you get away from all the city nightlights. In the country, you can look up and see stars and stars, layered stars, great stars, big stars, the Dipper and Orion and the Little Dipper. And we used to stand outside in the country and we'd say, see that Big Dipper up there? We didn't no more think about the handiwork of God than anything. We were just children amazed by his firmament, his handiwork. that the glory now, when I step outside and look up into the heavens, I see the handiwork of God, but also I see the glory of God. A depth that no man can penetrate. His glory is as dense as the universe. It is as bright as the sun itself. It is more radiant than the full moon on a great, beautiful night. The glory of God. And sometimes we think about the glory of God and we think about the real God that we serve. God is not a figment of imagination. God is not just a chapter in a book that we call the Bible. God is a real person. God is a spirit. Amen. But God is still real. God is so real that we find him indescribable because we cannot describe him as being 6'1", 155 pounds, blue eyes, blonde hair, or something like that. We cannot describe him. He does not fit that description. Amen. For with one span he hung the universe out as a man hangs a curtain. By his word he created everything that is created. And then he goes so far as to inhabit eternity. When you begin to think about God, you begin to think about something that is indescribable, yet we are ventured into the place that we can say he wants us to share his glory. Amen. Israel was to see the glory of God when God was going to set a table in the wilderness. 2 million people plus. And God is about to feed them all bread and flesh. Amen. 2 million people plus, and God's going to set a table. Amen. I worry about homecoming here at Dryden Road. Will we have enough? Is there going to be enough? Watch it now. If we're going to run out, give me a head start. I'll go get some more. I wonder about if we'll have enough for 200 or 250 or 300 people or more. But God says, I will set a table for 2 million plus. He said, in the morning, you're going to see my glory. You're going to see that I'm real.
Amen.
You see, they had seen his plagues in Egypt. They knew he had power to bring Egypt to its knees. They had saw him open the Red Sea. But there's nothing personal about this. Now God's going to go to every tent. God's going to feed the father and the mother. And he's going to feed all the children. He's going to give them a special because God is a personal God.
Amen.
If God's not a personal God, you've not been born again.
Amen.
You may be a church member. You may be religious. But you're not going to be born again until God becomes real to you.
Amen.
And if God becomes real to you, it'll change you inside out and outside in. You will be changed, for God is a personal God. And the glory in the morning was no more than him saying to Israel, I am your father. I will shepherd you. I will feed you when you're hungry. I will take care of you when you're weary. I will always be there.
Amen.
And you can depend on me. That's the glory of God that I share with him today. Even though that I am poor, yet he is rich. Even though I am weak, he is strong. Even though I am a pilgrim, he is the leader. Amen. And he lets me lean on him. There is nothing wrong with sharing God's glory. You see, here is what holy, 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 Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's the realness of it. The whole earth is full of his glory. That is everywhere God is and acts, he leaves behind a trace of his glory. Every time he saves a sinner, he leaves behind some glory. Every time he sanctifies a child of God, he leaves behind a shining face. Every time he baptizes a child with the Holy Ghost, he leaves behind the lingering glory of that mastery he has of making them speak with another tongue as the Spirit gives utterance. God is always leaving some morning glory behind. We have it today because we are satisfied and content in our heart. If without the glory of God, if I could not come to church and expect to see the glory of God, I would go on a search for a church until I could find a place where I see God's glory. If I was denied the presence of God and could not look into the glory of God, I would be disheartened. I would be sad and blue. But I can sing the songs of Zion and watch the glory of God reveal itself. Amen. I can read the Bible and find the glory of God in it.
Amen.
For we are a people to whom God is sharing His glory. And to do that, we need to return that glory in glorification of our God.
Amen.
How can you see it and not glorify Him? How can you understand that God is a God of great glory and not want to say glory to God?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Then there is that reputation of God. The glory of God, that's His name, an honor that He bears as the one who creates man and who redeems man and fulfills His covenant with man. In the biggest and broadest sense, it's a fact right here that the glory of God is everything in His character. When you think of the glory of God, it is His character and actions. He is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
We do not serve a small God who puts out a dim light. We serve a God that if He turns up His radiance, we'd all be on the floor.
Right.
No man can see God and live. Have you not read that? In fact, Moses said to Him, I want to see Your glory. He said, you can't do it and live. But He said, I can fix it so you can. So He picks Moses up and puts him in a cleft of the rock. He puts His hand over the cleft of the rock and keeps it till His glory has passed. And he's down the road a piece, and then he drops his hand. And Moses looks at the fading glory of God, but could not look at the real glory of God. And that's what we get. As God passes by, we see the fading glory of God. But one day, hallelujah, one day, oh, glory be to God, all the glory of heaven will be ours because we will look at God and see Him face to face. Anybody out there going to help me preach this morning? You see, He demonstrates to us. He demonstrates that in your helplessness, I will be your help. In your desperation, I will be your deliverer. He said it is that praiseworthiness is to see and be seen in the glory of His name. I am your help. I am your deliverer. That is the praiseworthiness of the glory of His name. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. That's the glory of God. Not only did He put away from me my sins, but He's become the dearest friend I've ever had. Oh, the glory I share with Him. Just to be called a friend of God, a child of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful fact it is that God did not leave us without His glory. He gives us His glory every day. We do not eat manna that's gathered from the ground, but yet He's promised us secret manna.
Amen.
Amen. That He slips into our soul every morning and gives us strength for the day. Anybody shout amen?
Amen?
I must hurry on my journey here. Look, this is what He said to Moses. And be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. There is the morning of worship when we can see the glory of God. I would like to encourage the Dryden Road Church. For all of you that wasn't here Thursday night, I opened a new business here at Dryden Road. Invited everybody to buy in right down on the ground level. Amen. Sister Tish, she texted me and said, I'm buying in. So I'm depending on you. I'm looking to have partnerships in this. Now I've come to present the first charter right here. Is how to do this. Getting it done is right here. In the morning, You've got to present yourself to the Lord. Early in the morning. Morning watch. Before you start your day. I'm not going to tell you how to spend 4 hours in prayer. I'm not going to tell you how long you got to spend in prayer or in the Bible. For some of you who already have the morning watch down. And you get up and you spend that morning time with God. And I say to you, thank you. But for you who are going to go into business and to you who want to see the glory of God, I want to read to you again, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Sometimes we misunderstand what God wants us to do. But there shouldn't be a morning started by anybody who does not say, Lord, I present myself to you, and I am yours for today.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's called the morning watch. It's an answer to prayer. It's a part of our daily schedule. If we want to share God's glory, we've got to schedule it like we do everything else. You can't just wake to the glory of God. You've got to have God, and when you find Him early in the morning, the glory of God goes with you all day long. Amen. Oh, somebody help me preach. It's just a way of getting started. It's got to be that way. First of all, you've got to make an offering. Amen. The first offering of the day should be yourself. Not your tongue. Not just a song. Not just read some of the scripture. You've got to say to God, my first offering of the day is myself. As Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That reasonable service ought to start at the beginning of your day and not at the end of your day. How can you get the glory from God when you're ending up a day and you've never once said in that day, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for sanctifying me. Thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you for sending Him to help me. Now, Lord, I'm yours for the rest of the day. I do not tell you how long you should take, but I think that every one of us should start. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, because you may not be comfortable with my how. But God is a personal God that can work it out with you. And God wants to work out that morning watch in your life. And for a healthy church and for a church that's going to get people saved, we've got to start at the start of the day and not the end of the day. Somebody ought to help me preach. You've got to be open to the Spirit of God. When you made that morning watch, be open. Open your mind. Open your heart. Open yourself to suggestions. It may not be an audible voice that you hear, but God can lay something on your heart. How many has had God to lay something on your heart? Oh, look at that. That's a minority. What kind of a church have I here that has not ever had God to lay something on your heart? I didn't say He spoke to you. You felt impressed like it was a need and a must, that you must get this done today, that God is asking you to do it. Amen. So in the morning watch, you've got to come to see the glory of God. You've got to approach God in the morning, open your heart, open your mind, and offer Him your life. If you'll open your mind and open your heart and offer Him your life, God is a God that speaks. God is a God that guides. God is a God that can provide. God will start with you if He can only get you. And if He gets you long enough, you will love the morning watch. Sometimes I wake up with a song, and I'm not a singer, but I wake up with a song. Sometimes I wake up with a thank you, Lord, that you let me wake up. Amen. I don't tell you how to start your day, but I'm telling you that if you don't start it with God, you got a wasted day. In short, God will enable you to see His glory in the morning. Oswald Chambers wrote a great and preached a great sermon on the morning watch. Years ago, I listened to it. It just came back to me how wonderful he did on the morning watch. Such an avid writer and such a wonderful preacher that he gives all of the glory to God because in his youth he learned the value of the morning watch. Amen. Now, let's come and look at the next part of this. It's called the morning toil. Ecclesiastes 11:6. They're just part of a verse there, but in the morning sow thy seed. In the morning sow thy seed. Is there a field to be planted? Don't put it off. Is there labor to be done? Get on with it. Start in the morning. I'm a country boy. I know what it is to be rolled out early in the morning and get in the garden before the sun got up. Amen. I know what it is to be told, get out of bed and no grumbling. And, well, their words sometimes wasn't that kind. Gonna lay in bed all day? Get up! Just a boy. But they knew the value of getting things done in the morning before the sun got hot and you got tired and your body got wore out. So the Bible says, in the morning sow thy seed. You've got your share of work to be done. You should do it in your youth. Boys, whether you know it or not, you're in the morning of your life. Sow your seed. Do the work of God, girls. You're in the morning of your life. Plant those things that will last. Plant a prayer life. Plant Bible reading. Plant devotion to God. Before you look for a boyfriend, look for a Savior. It's a shame that people talk about God and don't know Him. You can really know Him. Don't idle your life away. Give God something while you can. Don't wait till you're going on 70 and talk about saving the world. I got news for you. You won't get it done. Do it now. If you want your church to change, change it in your youth. If you want a revival that lasts, start it in your youth. Don't wait till you're gray-headed and say, I want to do something for God. You don't even know how many days you got left to give God. In the morning, sow the seed. That's exactly. You ever hear of Walter Scott? Walter Scott in his youth was preparing for marriage and he ordered workmen to place a sundial in the center of the lawn at the college where he was living. And on the sundial he had engraved the motto consisting of three words, the night cometh. And there are taken, of course, from the lips of Jesus, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. When Walter Scott was 60 years of age, he one day quoted his motto to a friend and added, and this is his quote, I put that text many years ago upon my dial stone, but it is often preached in vain. It is often preached in vain. Work, for the night cometh when no man can work. Sow your seed. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. The morning of diligence is important. I can't express that enough to you that if I hadn't have gave God my youth, I would have had a hard time giving Him my old age. If I hadn't have given God my youth, as soon as I got saved, not long afterwards, I went full time into the ministry. I gave God my youth. I gave Him my family. If I hadn't have been able to do that, I wouldn't be able to preach to you about doing what I'm asking you to do. There's no time to waste. If we've got seed in the bag, sow it now. For the night's going to come when you won't be able to sow it. The night's going to come when you're going to lose your family. The night's going to come when there's no work to be done. The night's going to be coming, and then you will be regretful to face the Lord of the harvest and have a bag of seeds instead of having a bundle of sheaves. This church cannot stand for another generation if we do not start sowing seeds of diligence and getting back to the course and getting back to the foundation. The foundation of prayer and holy living and being obedient to the Spirit of God. We cannot exist as a church and go on just acting like we're dedicated.
Amen.
It'll show up what God thinks of us when He starts pouring His glory out.
Amen.
Finally, there's a morning of eternity. Paul wrote to his Christian friends in Rome, and he said with great feeling, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." He said to them, "Morning's coming." Christ was coming again, and that was to Paul was morning. He said, "If not that dead, then He'll call for us in death. But I'm living like my father-in-law lived, with the love and the joy of looking to the coming of the Lord. I keep saying, Lord, I want to see it. I want to be part of it. Don't leave me out of it. I want to be there when the morning breaks fair and clear." Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I've sent enough shouting saints from Dryden Road that if I get on the same cloud with them, we're going to have reunion. Amen. I've sent enough people out of Indiana that if I get on the cloud with them, I'm going to have reunion.
All right.
I've seen enough people saved in different states where I preached that if I get on the cloud with them, I'm going to have reunion. There's a morning coming when I'll not only see my kinfolk, but I'll see the joy of my crown.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thou wilt be crowned with joy because I have sown my seed. I have done it with weeping, but I will surely come again rejoicing, bearing my sheaves in my hand. Oh,
yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank God there's a morning of eternity.
Amen.
When the day's labor will be over.
Right.
When eternal day will never be with a night. There's coming a day when there will never be a night.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm looking for that. You see, the moorings of this morality and mortality that we have keeps us tied short. We know that Paul said, "I'm in a great strait. I want to break this loose and I want to go to Him. But to abide with you is needful." But I keep thinking, oh, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, but with the Lord. And He said there's a morning coming. It's a striking word. Seek Him. That can turn the shadow of death into morning. That's in Amos 5 and 8. He said God can turn that shadow of death into a morning. Hallelujah. We go and bury them in the ground and their body goes into slumber. But one day, bright and fair, when the morning breaks, hallelujah, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which revive, amen, remain and are alive shall be caught up. Hallelujah. There's a great morning coming. It all starts of our qualification. Pray that ye may be acceptable. Pray that you may be accounted worthy. Pray that you may escape. That's why I tell you, go for God's glory. Get as close to God as you can. When you get the glory of God in your soul, you'll sing. When you get the glory of God in your soul, you'll shout. When you get the glory of God in your soul, you'll dance. When you get the glory of God in your soul, you'll pray. When you get the glory of God in your soul, you'll be a happy Christian. Oh, everlasting daybreak. Morning without end. Hallelujah. I preach to you this morning on the morning of worship, the morning of toil, the morning of eternity. But what really matters the most is the glory of God in the morning we're going to see. I've heard about heaven all of my life. I've heard great men try to describe it. I've heard the old timers talk about heaven and those visions and dreams that they'd had. Fields and fields of flowers. Great singing like never been heard. music wafting its way from another world. Years ago, we had a pastor, a lady, in our first church, and we went to the hospital to see her, and she said somewhere, she pointed to a window in a hospital, she said, somewhere over that way, I heard the most beautiful singing. She said, it must have been heaven's angels as they gathered. She said, such singing I've never heard before in my life. Nothing like it. I tell you what, every once in a while, God sends a cloud of glory over His people. It may dispense blessings. It may dispense healings. It may dispense a new birth. But it's going to help somebody, because He never sends His glory without His power. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the glory of God. And this morning as we come to this time of worship, do you know why we worship on Sunday morning? Do you know why we get out of bed and come to Sunday morning church? Amen. The reason we did is because God got Jesus up early Sunday morning. Before the sun was up, Jesus was up, dispensing glorious good news. He that was dead and yet I am alive and alive forevermore. Oh, glory to God. What a hope. He said, and because I live, ye shall live also. I said, oh, praise His name. The glory of this Sunday morning, I always get religious on Sunday morning simply because I know that if you lay me in the grave, one day I'm getting up. Hallelujah. I'll live with Him. Hallelujah. I shall see my Savior and His glory. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Verse 22 of chapter 17, the Gospel of John. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Amen. I in them, Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, Amen. That the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Yes. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, Amen. Which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Right. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And I tell you, that is glory to me. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. One day we'll share His glory. One day we'll walk down streets of gold. One day we'll have a mansion in the house of God. One day, oh happy day, what a great reunion there will be when we see Him face to face, and He takes us like a shepherd leads his fold to the throne of God and says to the Father, Father, these are those that I willed that to be with me. He willed it. It will happen. Somebody is going to share His glory. I said somebody is going to share His glory. Somebody is going to live with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody is going to make it all the way home. Somebody is going to hear well done. Somebody is going to shake glad hands with the elders. And if I've got a choice, oh, bless His holy name, that somebody is going to be me. Woo! Stand with me. Raise your hands and give God glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory.
Now while you're standing, I need to talk to those that don't know Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. There's an alternative to going to heaven. You hear me? There's an alternative to going to heaven. If you don't want to go and see God's glory, you will go to hell. There is no in between. it's heaven or hell. One will show God the glory, and the other will see the horrible damnation of God. I ask you this morning, do you want to be part of the people who go to God's beautiful heaven? If you do, you must be born again. I'm not talking about praying some little prayer that makes somebody think you're better than what you are. I'm talking about you being lost. And the only way you can keep from being lost is to be born again. Not join the church. Not being part of a church. You've got to be born again. You've got to have those sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. If your sins are not washed away, you're lost. I don't care who you are, who your family is, where you're going, or who you think you are. I want to be truthful to you as an old-fashioned preacher of the gospel. You're lost except Jesus Christ's Spirit is in you. For if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Now listen to me. Water baptism won't save you. You've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to receive His Spirit. And the blood's got to wash away your sins. I open this altar. And my advice to you is, girl, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You've got to be born again. Boy, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're lost. You're going to go to hell unless you're born again. Mom and Dad, I don't care if your hair is as gray as mine. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're lost. And you could go to hell before the day is up. Can I get an amen? Amen. This altar is open. As they sang, I want you to come. If you don't know for sure you're saved, come right now. Don't put your soul into jeopardy. Come and get the glory of God in your life. It's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Hallelujah. I said, I know it's real. Amen. Step out. Come to this altar. Let us pray.